this day.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that leads and guides us into all truth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that at the end of this week, Lord, at the closing of this week, Father, as we look back, we just see your hand, Lord, so many times and in so many places in all that's been going on around us, Father. And we're grateful for that, Lord. We're grateful that we walk with you, Lord God, that your Spirit is with us and resides in us, Father. Lord, that we do not live in this world alone, Lord God, but Lord, you promise, Father, you never leave us nor forsake us. And so we thank you for that, Lord, this day. We thank you that every one of your promises are true and good, Lord, for your people. And so, Lord, we receive them this day, Father, including, Lord, the promise that we need that no man teach us when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, because you would lead and guide us into all truth. And so, Father, this day, Lord, we leave every care, every concern by the side, Lord God. We leave it outside right now. And, Father, we just focus on your kingdom, Lord. We pray your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we bind every demonic force, every hindering spirit in Jesus' name, and we do call it null and void and cast it out, Father, and we proclaim the free flow of your Spirit in this place, Lord. Right now, Father, I get out of the way, and Lord, I allow the teacher that's on the inside, your Holy Spirit, to lead and guide, Lord, and to instruct. And Father, just have your way in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last night, when I was about to start preparing a little bit, right at the time that I was about to start, the power went out.
But,
the power didn't go out for the neighborhood. The power didn't even go out for the floor below me, just from my place and a couple houses behind. So it's just for a couple houses and my one right at the top. So I started doing some of this by candlelight, when I start to look where things are, I'll have to look a little bit harder. But life in this world is not necessarily convenient, not necessarily always going the way that we can't necessarily plan all that well right now. You know, sometimes we put all of our ideas in place and we say, okay, by here we'll do this and by here we'll do this. And so we have all of our ideas, but then all of a sudden something will come up. Life will happen to you along the way. And when life happens, when the unexpected happens, what happens to us? Are we shaken with all of a sudden the unexpected eventualities that come in this world? Or are we walking in step with Christ? Do we see His hand orchestrating everything going on around us? Matthew chapter 24. I was thinking about this one last night, and anyways, it's a good one to go through a little bit. Let's do verses 1 through 14. And I'll just let you read this thing on four. And go ahead. No, 1 through 14.
Yes, so I say on the other day, Pisivet Mula Mula no
ලෝකමුල් ලෙස බලා ගන්න. මක් නිසාද බොහෝ දෙනෙක් මම ක්‍රිස්තුස්ය කියා මාගේ නාමින් ඇවිත් බොහෝ දෙනෙකු මුලා කරන්නෝය. යුද්ධ සහ යුද්ධ ප්‍රවෘත්ති ගැන නුඹලා අසනවා ඇත. නොකැලඹෙන්න බලා ගන්න. මක් නිසාද මේ සියල්ල සිදුවන්න ඕනෑ. නමුත් ඒ වනතුරුත් අන්තිමේ නොපැමිණෙන්නේය. මක් නිසාද ජාතියක් ජාතියකටද රාජ්‍යයක් රාජ්‍යයකටද විරුද්ධව නැගිටිනවා ඇත. නොයෙක් කැවිමල සාගතික පොළොව කම්පාවට සිදුවෙනවා ඇත. මේ සියල්ල වනාහි ගාවිනාවල පටන් ගැන්මය. එකල ඔහු නුඹලා පීඩා විඳීමට පාවා දී මරන් නොය. නුඹලා මාගේ නාමය නිසා සියලු ජාතීන් විසින් වෛරකරු ලබන්නෝය. කල බොහෝ දෙනෙක් බාධාවට පැමිණ ඕනවුන් පාවා දෙන්නෝය. ඕනවුන්ට වෛර කරන්නෝය. නොයෙක් බොරු අනාගත වක්තිවරු නැගිට බොහෝ දෙනෙක් මුලා කරන්නෝය. අධර්මිෂ්ඨකම බෝවෙන බැවින් බොහෝ දෙනාගේ ප්‍රේමය සීනවන්නේය. නමුත් අන්තිම දක්වා ස්ථිරව සිටින්නාම ගැලවෙන්නේය. රාජ්‍යයේ මේ සුභාරංචිය සියලු ජාතීන්ට සාක්ෂියක් පිණිස ලොව මුල්ලේ ප්‍රකාශ කරනු ලබන්නේය. එවිට අන්තිමය පැමිණෙන්නේය.
Okay. So verse 14.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So we've looked at this chapter off and on a little bit. I was thinking about something a little different last night. All right, Jesus and his disciples are at the temple. And they're there, they're talking with each other, and Jesus, and they're all enamored with the temple, and Jesus says unto them, "See all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now in the history of Jerusalem, this happened. In 70 AD, this took place where when the Romans came to Jerusalem, they literally took apart every single stone in the temple. The reason that they did that was because the fires, when they set fire to Jerusalem and there was fires that overtook everything, it actually melted the gold, and so gold actually went from the temple in between the stones. When it melted, it melted down, went in between the stones. So to get the gold out, they literally ripped apart each and every stone just to go in and to get the gold. And they actually took the gold from that place and went and built what was called Circus Maximus, which was one of the biggest modern innovations in engineering of the time in Rome. And probably more blood was shed inside of that arena than anywhere else during the time people could imagine. So many people came there, died, gladiators fought, lions, all those things in that place. It was used with the money from the temple. So, but this happened word for word with what Jesus said. Verse 3 says, though, "As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Alright. Now, why didn't Jesus say this will happen in 70 AD? Wouldn't that have been the simple answer? So they asked Jesus, when will this happen? And if he would have said, it'll happen in 70 AD, or whatever the calendar was for them at the time. If for some of you that cook for your family or something like that, if you ask your husband or your kids or your brother or sister, you say, when are you coming for dinner?
දැන් අපි ගෙදර උයන කෙනෙක් ඉන්නවා නම් අපි ඒ උයන කෙනා අහනවා යලි මහත්යගෙන් හරි සහෝදර සහෝදරයන් හරි ඔයා මේ රාත්‍රී කෑමට එන්නේ කීයටද කියලා.
If they told you I will come for dinner after the third yellow car passes the house.
එයා කිව්වා නම් මම රාත්‍රී ආහාරයට එන්නේ මේ තුන්වෙනි කහ පාට
Wouldn't that be very frustrating for you? Don't you just want them to say, it'll at 8:30 I will come home for dinner? But when they say, oh, when the third yellow car passes the house, then you're outside, you're watching the road, you're looking for yellow cars, you're trying to make sure, was that two, was that three? But Jesus, the answer that he gives is very much like that. So when Jesus begins to answer their question, he answers two different questions. He answers the sign when these things will be, and he also answers what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the world. He's answering, because they ask him, they're like, okay, you said the temple is going to fall apart, sure. Okay, when will that happen? But also, when will everything wrap up? Since that seems like a pretty traumatic time, when will the whole thing wrap up? Okay. Why would he not give, just say, okay, 2,500 years from now, everything will be over? Any ideas? I was debating this last night. I was like, God, what's going on here? The first words that Jesus says when they ask him that question is he says, take heed that no man deceive you. Why would that be the warning that he says right after people ask him when will time wrap up, and he says, be careful, don't let anybody deceive you? I want to ask you some questions to provoke your thinking. I want you to start thinking about these things. Because we've gotten so used to, okay, let's come, sit down, somebody will tell you what to think, and then you go think that. Or maybe when you get home you say, what did you think about what he said? Oh, I don't know, I didn't like it. Oh, I really liked it today, very good. And then that's it. Then you go on and you wait for the next time. No, each one of us walks out our life with Jesus Christ for ourselves. Each one of us walks out our life with the Father as part of the body, and when you're in connection with Him, you become part of the body of Christ globally. Okay, I was thinking about some possibilities. I couldn't decide on one of anything. Alright, some reasons why he might not have given us a straight answer. As far as giving us a time and a date. Okay, one reason for our benefit. See, when Jesus started talking about all these things that would happen, and it goes on past verse 14, the whole chapter is like this, so many things are going on. So many things are taking place.
Yes, so I'm saying, ගොඩක් දේවල් සිද්ධ වෙන්න යනවා.
So we see famines and wars and pestilence and houses divided and people turning each other over to death, the world hating the disciples, the gospel being preached. So much is going on.
ගොඩක් දේවල් සිද්ධ වෙනවා. ඒ කියන්නේ පොළොව කම්පා සාගත ඒ වගේ දේවල් සිද්ධ වෙන ගමන්ම එක එක්කෙනාට වෛර වෙලා අනිත් එක්කෙනාව කාවා දීලා මරනවා. ගෝලයන්ට පීඩා කරනවා. මේ වගේ ගොඩක් දේවල් සිද්ධ වෙනවා.
Now if Jesus would have given us a specific, just said, okay, 1,000 years from now everything's over.
Yes,
then in the middle of all of that, when all of these things started taking place, people would start saying, oh my goodness, what's going on? Is God in control? Or they would still be trying to plan their lives in this world within the, okay, here's a time, here's a date, now we'll get set up so that we can be not touched with the eventualities that come on the world. So let's store some food here, let's put something here, because we know that on this date this will happen over here. But God doesn't do that. What He does is He gives enough instruction for people to know, look, I know everything that's going on, everything that's happening, all of it I am aware of, and none of it is a surprise for me.
නමුත් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ අපිට ඇත්තටම උපදෙස් දීලා උන්වහන්සේ කියනවා බලන්න මේ හැමදේම සිද්ධ වෙනවා මේවා මට පුදුමයක් නෙවෙයි කියලා.
I want you to flip from here, keep your finger in Matthew 24, go to Acts chapter 1.
මේක මෙහෙම ඇඟිල්ල තියාගෙන අපි යන් ක්‍රියා පළවෙනි පරිච්ඡේදය.
Acts chapter 1 and
Verse 4 through 8, read those ones.
Okay, similar thing here. They ask him in verse 6, they say, Lord, wilt that this time you restore again the kingdom of Israel? And now this time Jesus' answer is, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. Okay, why this answer this time? Because before, Jesus gives a very long, elaborate, 50 verse, plenty of information about He knows what's going on, not giving a direct number. And now this time, Jesus is giving them, He just says, look, it's not for you to even know the times. Now how many people these days are running around trying to figure out the times and dates for certain things to happen?
Oh.
And not just people that call themselves Christians, the worldly people always trying to figure out dates and times. There's a whole astrology practice in this country based around, oh, when's the right time to start your business, to get into a relationship, to do all these things? They'll go and check the stars. But Jesus here, he says, look, two verses, the two verses together are very important. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power, but ye shall receive power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses unto both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. Okay, when did they receive that power? Where were they? They were in the upper room. What were they doing? What were they doing in the upper room? Were they playing carom? No, they were praying. And what were they doing in prayer? They were seeking the kingdom. They came together as a group seeking God's kingdom, God's plan, God's purpose. That's what they were doing there. And in verse 7, he says to them, look, it's not for you to know the times and the dates and the seasons. The reason why is because then that's what people start to seek. They lose sight of the kingdom and they start to look at dates and times and places, and they lose track of what God is really doing. It is good for us to be aware of what's going on around us, yes. That's a good thing. It's nice to have some understanding of, oh, here's some things God has done through time, yes. But most people have missed this. What happens is they get obsessed with all that's going on in the world around them, looking for times, dates, seasons, especially as things get worse and worse, that they miss the kingdom and what God is doing right now in their day and age. No matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter how good, how bad, how high, how low, we always seek first the kingdom. We always seek God's plan, God's purpose, God's righteousness, His will to be manifest in us. We seek Him. Okay, flip back to chapter 24. Another reason why, I gave you one, is probably for our benefit that God didn't tell us. Another one is because it's flexible. You know, people are always looking to try to put God into a box. But when I read even other parts of this chapter, I read in verse 22 where it says that those days were shortened. It says, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Locker na lagde bhi nam kisi kene ek nagalave ne namu thora kam lagwa nukesa e dawas ලුහුඩු කරන ලබන්නේය කියලා කෙටි කරනවා.
In verse 20 it says Jesus even told them pray that your flight be not in winter neither on the Sabbath day. Why would he tell them to pray if it had already been fixed?
ඉතින් මෙතන 20 පදේ කියනවා නුඹලාගේ පලා යන්න ශීත කාලයේ හරි සබදිනේක වෙන්නේ නැති වෙන්න යාඥා කරන්න කියලා. ඉතින් ඒක ස්ථීරවම නියම කරපු දිනයක් නම් ඇයි යේසුස් වහන්සේ කියන්නේ ඒ වෙන්නේ යාඥා කරන්න කියලා.
So you see that all these things, though we're living in it, though we're around time, there's this it's not in concrete. God knows what's going on, but it's not for us and our experience. It's very flexible.
ඉතින් එහෙම බැලුවම අපිට යවට වෙන මේ දේවල් සිද්ධ වෙන දේවල් හරියටම හොඳට මේ කොන්ක්‍රීට් එකක් වගේ හොඳට ස්ථිරවම නැහැ. ඒක වෙනස් වෙන සුළුයි. දෙවියන් වහන්සේ දන්නවා මොකද සිද්ධ වෙන්නේ කියලා. නමුත් ඒක වෙනස් වෙන සුළුයි.
So we know though that in all of that takes place around us, in all that's going on with these events and everything else, that still there's not that we see the interaction of God and that it's not locked in.
ඉතින් ඇත්තටම අපිට තේරෙනවා මේ සිද්ධ වෙන දේවල් බැලුවම දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ මැදිහත්කාරකම මේ දේවල් තුල තියෙනවා. නමුත් මේක මේ ලොක් කරලා නිකන් වහලා තබල නැහැ.
You know, another possibility I was thinking about is that it happens continually.
තව වෙන්න පුළුවන් දෙයක් තමයි ඒක මේ දිගින් දිගටම සිද්ධ වෙන්න පුළුවන් දෙයක්.
Okay. The scriptures tell us that Paul told us that we are seated in heavenly places.
දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ වචනේ පාවුල් තුමා කියලා දිනවා දෙවියන් අපිව තබලා තිනවා මේ ස්වර්ගීය ස්ථානවල අපි ඉඳගෙන ඉන්නවා කියලා.
Okay. How is it that we exist in heavenly places but we're still here right now? See, we're there right now, but yet you're here. How does that work? Do you wonder? There is much, much, much more to you than what you can see, smell, feel, that you can experience with your senses.
අපේ මේ පංචේන්ද්‍රයන්ට දැනන දේවල් වලට වඩා ගොඩාක් 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 දේවල් තියෙනවා අපි දැනගන්නේ අපි දන්නේ නැති අපි තුල සිද්ධ වෙන.
So I need to use an example. So okay, Stella for a second, come here. Here. Okay. Stella, you are now Punish. Stella's Punish.
Stella, come on, Punish.
Okay, come Stella, come over here. Okay. Sit here just for a second. Okay. All right, Punish, you're on the other side of the room.
Punish, you are in the camera here.
But you're still here. How is that possible? In the spirit, can you exist in other places at the same time? But how is it possible that you can exist in two different places at the same time and not be aware of it? Okay, Stella, you can come back. And then, okay. Because that's literally what the scriptures tell us is going on. You are existing in other realities at the same time that you are here.
ඉතින් ඒක තමයි දේව වචනේ අපිට කියන්නේ අපි මේ ලෝකේ ජීවත් වෙන ගමන්ම වෙනත් සත්‍යතාවයක් තුල අපි පවතිනවා.
Okay, let me take you back to last week. You remember as I was talking about what happens, where are we going? The road to where, right?
Okay.
So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. So when we come into Christ, when we come into that place where we're in the vine, what happens is you begin to come into who you really were designed to be in the first place.
ඇත්තටම අපි කවුද වෙන්න ඕනේ කියලා නිර්මාණය කරපු විදිහට අපි පත් වෙනවා.
See, at the fall, man lost his ability to see into the dimension of spirit. So what ended up happening was he was blinded, he couldn't see what was going on. And when God gave so many natural examples, like building the tabernacle and things like that, He did those so that we would have natural examples of spiritual realities, so that we would have some understanding of what's going on in the spirit. But when Jesus unlocks our spirit, when He opens the door, when He comes that we might have abundant life, that we may have life and have it to the full, part of it is opening our eyes to see in the dimension of spirit. And part of that opening up of the dimension of spirit for us is our ability to exist well past this base reality that we live in right now, the present reality we live in. Okay, but I think part of the reason why He gives different signs and all that is because, again, if we can exist in different realities and we're made in God's image, God exists in every one of those realities that surround us as well. And within each one of those, the end comes when the Father decides to. Within each one of those realities, it's itself, things are happening there. And we exist there too. Okay. But with all of this is going on, Jesus, His first instruction is, take heed that no man deceive you. In scriptures, in John 2, verse 24 through 25, let's flip back just a second. Jesus says, "But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men. He needed not that He should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." Okay, the nature of every man apart from God, apart from the Spirit of Truth, is deception, is the world, is another kingdom besides the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, knowing the condition of man, also knew what resided inside of every single man on the face of the earth. Every man and every woman. And So we know though that what happens is unless people have that heart change, unless they've been given over to the Spirit of Truth, they do deceive. And right now what's happening all over the world, the people are being deceived into church programs, they're being deceived into wars, and countries are invading each other, and all of these things because of what they see going on around, and it's the nature of the world.
ඉතින් ඇත්තටම මේ මුලාව තුල ගමන් කරනකොට මිනිස්සු ගොඩක් පෙළපිලා ඉනවා පල්ලිය වැඩසටහන් වලට ඒ වගේම යුද්ධ වලට මේ ලෝකේ නොයෙකුත් දේවල් සිද්ධ වෙමින් පවතිනවා මේ මුලාව තුල ඉන්න නිසා.
Verse 5 said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many."
ඉතින් පස්වෙනි පදේ කියනවා බොහෝ අය මගේ නාමයෙන් ඇවිල්ලා බොහෝ මිනිස්සුන්ව මේ රවට්ටයි කියලා.
Okay. That word Christ, when he says that, that word also means anointed. So Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, I am anointed, and deceive many. Does that word translate in the Sinhalese, that I am anointed? Because when Jesus said that many will come in my name, so they'll come using his name, they will say they have something special from God, or they have something special, that they're a savior, that they have an answer and solution to your problems, your issues, whatever, and deceive. Let me show you something. Luke chapter 4.
Luke
and verse 18. Jesus said, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the ministers, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon who? Who is it upon according to Jesus reading the scripture? That's right, it's upon Jesus. Because God has anointed who to preach the good news to the poor? Jesus. Who is he sent to heal the brokenhearted? Jesus. So he sent Jesus to preach deliverance to the captives, Jesus to recover sight for the blind, Jesus to set at liberty those that are bruised. And in verse 21, Jesus says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So Christ is the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one.
ක්‍රිස්තුස් තමයි ආලේපලක් තැනැත්තා. යේසුස් වහන්සේ තමයි ආලේපලක් තැනැත්තා.
When someone is anointed, they have it in and of themselves. There is not a minister alive this day that is anointed. What you see is the power of God, the anointing of God flowing through people that are in Christ Jesus. So He is the vine, we are the branches. We remain in Him, His words remain in us, the fruit is born. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, people are healed, the bruised, all of that because Jesus does the work and He flows through us. But none of us are anointed in and of ourselves. None of us is anybody else's Messiah. None of us is anyone else's Savior. And people that offer themselves to this world like that offer themselves as deceivers. Our role is to point people towards the one with the answer. We live our lives out in connection with the Father, and in that connection, He does what He wants to through us. So, but we know that in the times that we live in, we have deceivers, we have false Christs, we have false prophets, we have all these things going on around us. In verse 13, Jesus says that he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 13 of chapter 24. Okay. Let's quickly flip to John 16. Keep that verse in mind. John 16 verse 33. And Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay, so to him who endures through all that goes on, and Jesus said, "And I've overcome." So, with all that goes on around us, see, here's something I want to point out. Don't get locked into all the things that people are thinking of with time. God is outside of time. And when we come into Christ Jesus, we step outside of time as well. We already exist in different realities anyways, but in this reality even itself, though we're here in time, we're not of the time in this world. We become and resemble more like the angels in heaven than we do the people of this world. We resemble more the angels of heaven than we do the people of the world. But while you're here, God is moving and directing and leading your life. You remember John 3 where Nicodemus and Jesus are talking, and Jesus says the people born of the Spirit, they're like the wind. You don't know where they're going. They go to and fro as the Spirit is leading them. That's what we're like. And so though the world is having famines and floods, wars, all these rumors of wars and all this stuff, God's people are happily just moving through it as the Spirit is leading them. So He's protecting, watching over them all the time. You will get off a bus and it'll go crash. You will get on a bus and that one will be protected. But you'll be different than the world. And whenever God knows that your race has been run, it'll witness in your spirit, you know you're ready, and then you get to depart from this reality to something much, much better, praise God. But while we are here, while we are in this dimension that we're conscious of, our role, our part of it is we live our lives as overcomers. And how do we overcome? Well, we remain in Christ. We remain in Him, His words remain in us. He said, I overcame the world, we overcome because of Him. So people will get obsessed and say, okay, what signs, what dates, when will this happen, what's going to go on? And Jesus says, hey, seek first the kingdom. Seek that reality. Seek the manifestation of the Father in your life and around you, and leave everything else to Him. He leads and directs each and every one of us as He desires to, and what we end up doing is the body of Christ and what God is planning for in the world we live in. Yeah, He moves each and every one of us how He wants to during this time. And the result of what happens is His plan, His purpose, because He knows all that's happening. And ultimately what happens for us is we overcome because we remain in Him. And we don't need to worry about anything else that's going on. Because God is aware of all of it and He's in control of all of it. It's His plan, His purpose, His world, and you are here for such a time as this.